following audio is from the weekly message at Summit Church in the Upstate of South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
My name's Terry Carlton. For those of you that I have not had the opportunity to meet, I'm one of the elders and pastors on the team here at Summit. And it's a real joy to open up God's Word with you. If you have a copy of God's Word, I want to invite you to go with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10 is where we're going to be this morning. I want you to take just a moment with me, and I want you to picture yourself at about 80 years of age. Now, if you're close to 80, let's just go up 10 years. Let's go up 10 or 15 if you're close to 80. And to picture that, I just do me a favor. Close your eyes for a moment. I want you to picture yourself at 80, 90 years of age. Who do you want to be when you get there? What kind of person do you want to be? What do you want your life to communicate? Think about that for just a second. Now consider this. Is your everyday life actually pointing you in the direction of who you want to become? Is your routine, your schedule, your calendar, is it aimed in the direction of where you want to go? All right, for those of you who followed assignment, you can look at me. Every one of us in the room, every one of you, including me, we're going to wake up one day, and it will hit us. And I don't know when it'll hit you. I know for a lot of people, if you haven't hit your 40s yet, it's usually in your 40s. I'm not talking about midlife crisis either. Although that, I think that's a real thing. But it'll hit you one day, and here's what you'll discover. That you have been formed into a certain kind of person. That you are a certain kind of husband, a certain kind of father, a certain kind of wife, a certain kind of mother, a certain kind of friend, a certain kind of employee. It'll just hit you one day. This is who I am. And the current that brings us to that place, all of us to that place, will be the habits and rhythms of our life that we gave ourselves to. And the only way that you nor I will get swept up in the current that just merely leads us to living a good and comfortable life, the only way we don't get swept up into that current is to continually arrange and rearrange our everyday rhythms in light of God's good and gracious design. Let me be clear this morning. God has not left us in the dark to try and figure out where he desires to lead us as his people. No, he redeems us by his grace. He indwells us by his spirit. And he graciously invites us to walk the path with him that leads to life. And here's the promise held out for us. If we will arrange our lives in light of his good design, here's the promise. He'll form us into the kind of people we were always destined to become. And he will empower us to participate with him in the good purposes that he is accomplishing throughout the world. Now, we're taking 5 weeks as a church to talk about rhythms of grace that God has given to us as his people, as the church. These are rhythms that form us and shape us as God's people. Rhythms that enable us to be instruments of grace in his grand redemptive mission. And as we walk through these five rhythms together over the course of these few weeks, we're going to talk about practical life here at Summit. Practical life. Next Sunday, we're going to talk biblically about the Lord's Supper and baptism. And one of the things we would love to do, if baptism is a next step that you need to take, we would love to help you take that next step next Sunday and celebrate with you through believer's baptism. So if you're here and you're a follower of Jesus and you've yet to take that step, man, we would love to talk with you about that. You can sign up online, summitupstate.org. You can sign up for baptism, and we would love to celebrate that with you. In 2 weeks, we're going to talk about generosity and generosity from the vantage point of how does gospel-motivated generosity actually form us as a people. I don't think we think of generosity in that way, and we're going to talk about that as a church. In 3 weeks, we're going to talk about covenant membership. What does it mean to actually belong to the local church? And what's the significance of belonging to the local church? And how does belonging to the church actually form us? We've updated our covenant of membership here at Summit. And so if you're currently here and you're a member of Summit, at the end of the series, we're asking everyone, if you're already a member, we're asking you to re-covenant with us. And we're going to hand out the new covenant, the updated covenant, so you'll have time to read and process through that. If you're here and you're not a covenant member, we're going to give you the next steps on how you can take that with us if that's where God's leading you. We really do believe this is going to be a clarifying and unifying series for us as a church. I want to take a brief moment and recap last Sunday. Austin was here to kind of set up this series. So if you were not here last week, we talked about two primary ways we are formed. We talked about the grace to be formed as God's people for God's purposes. So this next little bit will be a recap if you were here, and if you were not here, you're welcome. The first way we are formed is unintentional formation. And all of us in the room are formed in this way. Let me say it this way. You don't have to be a follower of Jesus to be formed in this way. You can be anti-God, anti-religion, and every single person on the planet is formed in this way. By the stories we believe, every one of you in this room, you have narratives and stories that shape the way you see the world, the way you view life, the way you view yourself. Every one of us have habits that we engage in on a daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, yearly basis. And what we don't often think about when it comes to formation is we don't realize is that the habits that we engage in on a consistent basis is actually doing something to us. It's forming us. It's not just forming our bank account or our schedule. It's actually doing something to our heart. We're formed by the relationships that we have. You know this to be true. Like the people that we hang with, the people that we spend time with, the people we vacation with, the people that we frequently interact with. You know what? It shapes the way we think, the things we desire. It shapes what we're willing to give ourselves to. So the stories we believe, the habits we engage in, the relationships we have, and all of this is happening in a particular environment. Environment could be the fact that all of us live in America. America has a set of principles and ideologies that it wants to shape us in. I don't have to convince you of that. Our city, our circle, your neighborhood, it all is affecting onto us a particular identity. The thing that most of us hold somewhere near to us this morning. Like, it's not just physical place. We actually have access to the world through our phone. This is an environment. And you know what it's doing? Shaping you. Forming you. It's trying to impress upon you a certain set of ideologies, certain set of principles, a way of life. And you know what happens? Over time, I don't know if you can see that on the bottom, but over time, through life and circumstance, we become a certain kind of person. And you know what you have to do to be formed in this way? Anybody want to guess? Nothing. Not a thing. You don't have to be disciplined. You don't have to have a set schedule and routine. All you have to do tomorrow is just wake up. And this reality, this paradigm, you know what it's going to do? It's going to shape you and form you into a particular kind of person. It's formation number one. Number two is intentional formation. Intentional formation. This is how we would describe spiritual formation. This is practicing the way of Jesus. This is taking the truth of the gospel and laying it over the ways that we are naturally formed. I'll describe it this way. We need the teaching of the truth to counter the stories that are coming at us. We need to immerse ourselves in a true story, a biblical story, that it would tell the reality of all of the other narratives seeking to grab hold of our perspective. We need truth. We need the teachings of Jesus. We need the practicing of corporate worship. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. But we need the teaching of the truth to counter the stories we believe in. We need practices to counter the habits that are naturally forming us. So we don't just need to intellectually know what is true. We need to integrate truth into our everyday life. We need spiritual disciplines and spiritual rhythms that actually get integrated into our everyday rhythm of life. Because truth that influences the mind has to affect the emotions and our affections. And we need a community. We need a community to counter the relationships that we naturally self-select. And just so I'm clear, it's not wrong that you naturally select friends. It's not wrong that you have people that are your people. Men, and you love hanging out with a certain group of people. You have common interests and common phases of life and common circumstances of life. There's nothing wrong with that. And yet, we need a group of people that these relationships are centered upon a particular way of thinking and a particular practice that's shaping the way we live our life. I have friends. I have friends that do not help me think about being intentionally formed. If we were to go back to the other diagram, I have friends around me that are forming me in the unintentional ways. But you know what I need? I need community. I need other brothers and sisters around me that are immersing themselves in truth, that are integrating that truth into everyday life so that we can run in the same direction. And all of this happens in a particular environment. A particular environment that is influenced and controlled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the living God living within us. And you know what happens over time? Through life, through circumstance, we become a certain kind of person. But not just any kind of person. We become more like Jesus. And His fruit is produced in and through our lives. And He empowers us to participate with Him in the work He is accomplishing. We spent a lot of time last week unpacking that. Two ways we're formed. One's natural, one's supernatural. One requires us to do absolutely nothing. And this one requires intentional, ongoing dependence upon the Spirit. Now, Danny, I want you to leave that up there. Let me transition, because I want to talk about how we see this playing out in the life of Summit. And that really was last week's emphasis, We wanted to talk about a vision of formation. How does intentional formation play out in the life of Summit? And there's three primary rhythms where we think as a leadership this plays out in the life of our church. Three avenues of counter-formation. Number one is corporate worship. It's what we're doing this morning. It's the people of God. It's the truth of God. It's the Spirit of God. It's a weekly rhythm of teaching, encouraging, praying, singing, receiving of the elements biblically. And we're going to look at that. That's the emphasis this morning. We're going to look at this in just a moment. All of that, all of what we're doing this morning, it's forming us as God's people. So if I were to take corporate worship, I would place it at the top of the triangle as a leading edge. The teaching of truth, this isn't the only place where the teaching of truth shapes God's people, but in the rhythm of formation for us here at Summit, Sundays fits as a leading edge within teaching. Number two is life groups. Life groups is a rhythm where we practice our core values in the context of meaningful relationships. It's an avenue by which people can be introduced and exposed to intimacy with God and God's redemptive mission with others, for others. If I were to put life groups somewhere, I would put it at the right of the triangle at the bottom with community as a leading edge. What we have discovered over time is that life groups most effectively allow people the opportunity to be connected to others for community and care. I'm not telling you that we don't talk about truth in community. We do talk about truth in community. We open up the Bible together. We study the scriptures together. I'm not telling you that in life group we don't put an emphasis on practice. But I'm telling you the primary objective of what we think gets formed in the life of our church for people is when they step into a life group environment. Men, women, families learning to practice the values of intimacy and community and mission together. Which leads me to the third environment, Summit Disciple. Summit Disciple. This is a new rhythm we're introducing this fall into the life of our church, and it's a rhythm where men invest in men and women invest in women. And the primary focus, if I were to put Summit Disciple, I'd put it at the bottom left of the triangle for practice. Because the primary emphasis of what we're walking through in Disciple is learning how to integrate what we know to be true into everyday rhythms of life. So think 3 to 4 men over the course of a semester or a year, intentionally building relationship and walking in the core characteristics of Jesus. 3 to 4 women doing the same thing. I want to encourage you on your way out this morning to pick, I think I have one in my notes here. We have some information about Summit Disciple, what it is, what's the content of what we're walking through. And we're going to pilot these groups starting in 2 weeks. And we have limited space, but if you're here this morning and you think, man, I need to take a next step, and I need to think about intentionally being formed in the way of Jesus, we're giving you that paradigm of what that looks like in the life of Summit. Corporate worship, life groups, Summit Disciple. 3 different environments, all accomplishing 3 different things, all intricately connected in God forming his people into the kind of people that we are destined to become. I want to encourage some of you in this room, this is where you need to take your next step, either in a life group or a Summit Disciple group. So be sure to grab one of these, scan the QR code, it'll take you right to the registration, and our team would love to get you plugged in to one of these groups this fall. Still with me? Maybe. I want to take a moment and narrow in for the next 15, 20 minutes on just one aspect of this vision that we're putting before you. And I want to talk about something that I think we easily undervalue and dismiss. I think we tend to easily dismiss and undervalue what we're actually doing right now. And that is gather together as the people of God. Perhaps when you think about what's taking place in these 75 to 80 minutes together, you don't think of this as intentional spiritual formation. Right? Because isn't that what life groups is for, Terry? Isn't that why you guys are introducing Summit Disciples? So this must not be that significant. I don't think I have to convince anybody that's in this room today that the emphasis of corporate worship in the life of a believer has increasingly become unpopular, unessential, unimportant. And perhaps you showed up here today, but if we knew your story, we would know that you've been hurt deeply by the church. And for whatever reason, you keep coming, but if you're just being honest, you're struggling to trust anything about the church or anyone at the church. And I just want you to know, man, if that's your story, you're not alone in this room. Church hurt is part of my story. At 19, I wanted to walk away, have nothing else to do with the church, nothing. And since God in His sovereignty brought me back into the church, I've been hurt multiple times. You know what? I've also hurt some people. I didn't mean to. But I have been on the end of hurting folks within the church. I understand church hurt on both sides. Maybe you're here and you're not really sure why you're here. Just being honest. Maybe you enjoy the teaching or the singing. Maybe you have friends here. Maybe you show up, but you're not real sure, like, what the significance is. Like, you get more out of all the podcasts that you get to listen to throughout the week. I could go on and on about all the perspectives that are in the room this morning, and I know there's many, many perspectives. But I want to take a moment from Hebrews 10, and I want to recenter our attention on God's design and purpose for what's actually taking place this morning. The author of Hebrews makes the case that Jesus is a better high priest. He's a better high priest through whom we have unhindered access to the throne of grace, that we can approach God with confidence. And the reason we can approach God with confidence, this is the entire emphasis of Hebrews, is because of what Christ has accomplished in His death and resurrection. Look at verse 19, Hebrews 10. This is how God speaks to us. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, as through the veil in the temple, through His flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Like, what a promise to us in those verses. What a gift of grace. Because of Christ, the author of Hebrews tells us we have the law of God written on our hearts. We are a new creation. We have been made new because of Christ. Our sins have been cast away, unremembered by God the Father. And because of this truth, we are now invited into the presence of the living God. We're invited there. He uses this this imagery of the veil in the temple. It's been torn. And this speaks to the physical, literal curtain that tore in the temple when Jesus was crucified. And he brings that up because it symbolically demonstrates that because we are now covered in the righteousness of Jesus through his death in our place for our sins, we are invited to step into the very presence of God with confidence. Like, just think about that for a moment. We don't have to tiptoe into his presence. We don't have to enter into his presence with hesitation. You and I never have to apologize when we enter into the presence of God. No, because he tells us here, the way has been opened for you. We have a great high priest who made a way for us through his flesh, through his death and resurrection. And in these few verses, he says, based on this incredible promise, there's three commands. Three responses. Number one, draw near to God. On the basis of what Christ did in his death, in his resurrection, draw near to God. Number two, hold fast to hope. And number three, consider how to encourage others towards love and faithfulness. Now, I want you to notice something about all of these commands. I want you to notice what they're rooted in. They're rooted in this: recognize what is true and respond to that truth. Recognize what is true and then respond to that truth. Recognize that not only is relationship with God possible, but recognize that God longs to be in relationship with you. That the creator of the world, who created all things, formed and fashioned man in his image on the sixth day, that God longs to be in relationship with you. I don't know if we think about walking with God in that way. But the author of Hebrews says the reason why he can command us to draw near to God is because there is a God who longs to walk with you, to be with you. Recognize that we're not simply invited to bring our griefs and joys to him. No, we're commanded to do so. Why would God command us to do that? Because no one cares for us like he does. No one has the capacity to sustain our joy or comfort us in our grief like God does. So respond, he says, by holding on to this hope. Clinging to this hope. And don't forget, you're going to need each other to be able to recognize these things and to keep responding to these things. That's the summary of these verses. I want to read a couple quotes to you. The first is from a theologian by the name of John Stott. He says, Christianity is, in its very essence, a resurrection religion. The concept of resurrection lies at its heart. If you remove the resurrection, Christianity is destroyed. With resurrection at the center, a new and living way invites us to live resurrected lives. So the original picture is this: we are a resurrection people, followers of a resurrected king, and this day, the Lord's Day, is all about our Lord who was raised from the dead. In other words, when we gather together on the Lord's Day, it is a natural response of who Christ has made us to be. A resurrected people worshiping a resurrected king. Listen to this quote. After Jesus was raised from the dead, the resurrected Lord appeared to hundreds of men and women, transforming fearful doubters to boldly proclaiming Christ's death and resurrection. These fearful doubters were transformed and willing to endure persecution and even die for this reality of resurrection. And as a result of this proclamation, the church was born. And it grew. With Sunday as the primary day of worship, they called it the Lord's Day. The church did not create the resurrection story. Instead, the resurrection story created the church. The Lord's Day, the corporate gathering, what we're doing this morning is the recognition and the response of a group of resurrected people celebrating a resurrected Savior who is making all things new. And if that's true, like if this biblical picture we're holding out for you is true, then what we're doing this morning is privilege, not duty. It's privilege that we have the freedom to enter into a place together as God's people, knowing that Jesus is alive. He reigns forevermore. He's accomplishing his purposes. He's making all things new. Each and every week, brothers and sisters, each and every week, we get to remember and rehearse the true and better story of all the things vying for our attention throughout the week. We get to remember in this setting what is ultimately true. We get to rehearse a narrative that overcomes all stories and narratives that are naturally forming us. Each and every week, we get to align our story with the true and better story. We enter into God's story every Sunday when we enter into this place. We embody his story every time we gather. We may have allowed lesser stories to shape our entire week. Stories of money, stories of status, stories of circumstance, stories of pursuit that always dead end in some type of frustration or tragedy. All kinds of lesser stories that navigate and compel our weeks and our days. But we get to enter into this place in light of living those stories and be reminded of the true story, the only narrative that will shape us and set us free and carry us safely all the way home. I hope you realize this morning that this morning isn't about enjoying Doug and the worship team. Now, I love the gifts that God's given to this place. Doug has faithfully led in this place for this community for years. Incredibly gifted. But this is what we're doing this morning is not about him. And it's not about the gifts that get displayed on this stage. I hope you understand that what we're doing this morning is not about, I wonder who's teaching, and I wonder if I'm actually going to connect with what they say. This morning's not about who you talked to, or who you spoke to, or who didn't talk to you. The point of this entire gathering is about a resurrected king and a resurrected people. He's brought back to life. And you want to know why this perspective is so crucial to what we're doing week in and week out as a church body? If our gathering isn't motivated and sustained by the resurrection of Jesus, then this is just a room full of sad, unfulfilled, hard stories. And we all walk into this place with difficult things we're walking through. We all walk in this place with difficult circumstances. We all find ourselves in various weeks, Sunday to Sunday. We might walk in here sad. We might walk in here fearful. We might walk in here joyful. God has been abundantly kind, and he's shown himself in that way the previous week or in that season. We all come in different ways. But because of the resurrection of Jesus, because Jesus is alive, our broken, hard, and sad stories are being made new, and we need to be reminded of that. So we come, we enter, we worship, and we speak up, and we sing, and we pray, and we rejoice, and we cry, and we look out for one another, and we listen to the Spirit that's speaking to us and through us. Listen, some of you came here today, and what you needed was Alonda's testimony. That's what you needed. It's not that God won't use the proclamation of His Word and what I'm doing, but some of you will walk out of this place today, and what He wanted to say to you was through her. Week in and week out, we see the Father open His arms wide in Jesus. We hear the voice of God through His Word and in His people. And before we utter one word, when we walk into this room, He sees us. He knows all about your week. He knows all about your brokenness. He knows all about your circumstances. And He moves towards us. He welcomes us. He reminds us of who we really are. And He centers in the true and better story, His story. He is making all things new. Each and every week, we get to remember and rehearse the true and better story. We get to align our story with His story. And we get to do all of this. We get to experience all of this together. You go, well, can we remember and rehearse the true and better story? Can we align our story with the true and better story throughout the week? In our car? Around the table? In the mountains, at the lake, on our hike, with a good book, with a great cup of coffee, with music, with a podcast, with friends, or by yourself? You bet you can. 100%. But right here, each week, together, this is a place and a rhythm of intentional formation. It is a rhythm of grace given to us by a good God that buoys us every week. This gathering, it buoys us until we reach the finish line. Week after week after week after week, God knows our need. God knows our circumstance. And we gather in this place, and God buoys us through it all, through the hard and the promising, through the difficulty, through the tragedy, through the highs and the lows. God, in His grace, meets us here. God's design for His gathered people. It's what we're doing. We're trying to give you a vision that what we're doing here this morning is bigger than just showing up whenever it's convenient for you. And it's bigger than three or four songs and a reading of Scripture and a teaching that is 35 to 40 minutes and a benediction. And we go, it's bigger than all of that. Listen to this. In this tangible, what we're doing right now, I'm gonna paraphrase some biblical truths of what's going on in this place right now. In this tangible and mysterious gathering, sometimes it's messy. Can we just be honest for a moment? Sometimes that's messy. Sometimes it's too cold in here, or it's too hot. I'm not going to tell you who you can blame for that. Sometimes the communicators are not, we're not on. Have good weeks, bad weeks. It's not about us. Sometimes you connect with the lyrics of the song, and sometimes you don't. Doug will tell you this. Sometimes his voice isn't all there that week because he sung most of the week. Sometimes it's messy. It's often imperfect, but each and every week we get to practice heaven. All eyes on Jesus, and whether it's because you come because you love Him with all of your heart, or whether it's you come because you know you need Him, or whether it's you're coming because you're trying to figure out if you can trust Him in this place, in this gathered time, in the company of saints and angels and martyrs and elders and creation, the church visible and invisible, we see the resurrected Jesus in the physical presence of His people. God's family, brothers and sisters, and we gather. We gather not because we have to or because we should. We gather because we have been bought by the blood of Jesus and brought into the family of God. We gather together as a response to who Jesus has made us to be, which is a family. That's why we gather. That's why we show up. That's why we commit to biblical fidelity each and every week. Sunday after Sunday, you and I get to gather around the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And our stories, you know what? They get helped. And they get encouraged and they get shaped and they get sustained by the hope and the power of that resurrection. Sunday after Sunday, we gather, we confess, we sing, we pray, we read and study the scriptures. We receive the elements. We're going to talk about the implications of that next week. We proclaim the gospel, and we get to do all of this together. We get to fulfill Hebrews 10. We get to encourage one another towards love and faithfulness. So over the last 70 minutes, here's what we know from Scripture. The Spirit of God, through the Word of God, in the midst of the people of God, has been doing something in us and through us. That's what we know. He's helping us. He's helping others through us. He's helping us through others. He's forming us each and every week. He's faithfully and patiently leading us all the way home. I'm going to invite the team. We're going to respond in song to the teaching of God's word. And as they're coming, I want to tell you how I think you can respond to a message like this. All of us. Like if all of this is true, like if this isn't just, like we're trying to do an attendance push as a church, or we're not just discouraged by the attendance numbers and we're trying to guilt some people into getting back into, I hope you know it's better than that. But if all of this is true, I think there's some ways that we should respond to what's taking place every Sunday. So here's how I think you can respond. Number one, prepare prayerfully. Prepare prayerfully. Corporate worship week in and week out would be a non-negotiable if we allowed God's perspective to shape why we come to this place. Be a non-negotiable. In fact, this day would shape all the other days. Like Sunday, showing up, participating, serving, worshiping. It wouldn't be take it or leave it if we believe God was actually doing what he promised he would do when we gather. You go, well, what are we doing Sunday? We're gathering together to celebrate a resurrected king because we are a resurrected people. That's what we're doing on Sunday. And we prepare our hearts before we come into this place. We pray for our gathered time. We read the scripture ahead of time that we're going to be studying. And we ask the Lord, Lord, do a work in our midst. Do a work in me. Do a work in your people. I think the way you and I should respond to this is that we prepare prayerfully. Number two, come with anticipation. You know what time worship starts? Anybody? 10. If I'm coming with anticipation, I'm not coming at 10:10. I'm coming to get in the room with God's people. I'm coming to encourage, grab a cup of coffee, have a conversation, asking the Spirit, can I encourage somebody? The Spirit of the living God is in our midst and he's doing something. I'm coming with anticipation. I'm not going to treat Sunday like it's Monday morning on the way to work or school. I'm not going to treat the gather time like I've received free tickets to a show that I'd rather not go to. The eternal living God by His Spirit is present in our midst, and He's promised to meet with us and do a work among us. If that's true, it changes the way we enter into this room. Changes it. Fundamentally changes it. It gives us a sense of anticipation and expectation. And I need that. You know why? Because I don't want to come every Sunday. Is it okay to say that? Every Sunday I'm supposed to teach. I don't want to teach. I have hard weeks and hard days and hard seasons. And I'd rather stay at home. But if I know what's true, and I have a sense of anticipation, and I'm banking on the promises of God, even when I don't feel like coming, I can come and know that God meets me there. Number three, be attentive to the Spirit. Be attentive to the Spirit. We're typically in this room 75 to 80 minutes each week. Typically. And one of the primary ways we become aware of God's voice in our midst is to continually ask the Spirit of God to speak to our hearts, to speak to us. As we're heading into the weekend, I'm thinking about Sunday, and I'm thinking about what God wants to say, and I'm praying for God to show up. Maybe on the drive over, I'm praying. Before the service begins, I'm praying. While we're singing, I'm praying. Before we open the Word, I'm praying. While the Word is being proclaimed, I'm praying. Before we leave this place, I'm praying, and I'm asking God, would you speak to me? Would you move in our midst? I'm listening for His voice. So prepare prayerfully, come with anticipation, be attentive to the Spirit, and lastly, consider others in the room. Consider others in the room. You want to know why a huge reason why the Lord designs for His people to consistently gather together is because God is forming His people through His people. Through His people. So I would tell you this morning, us showing up here week in and week out, it's not about us. It's about what God desires to do through us for others. So we enter into this room and we think about others in this room and we pray for others in the room and we move towards others in the room. For what purpose? To encourage one another towards love and biblical fidelity. And you know what? You know what the God of heaven promises to do through all of this? He forms us into the kind of people that He desires for us to become. Would you stand with me? God has given grace upon grace to His people. And one of those graces is the grace to gather together as God's people. You know, my prayer is for us that we don't take that for granted. Prepare prayerfully. Prepare our hearts. Come with anticipation, even when we don't feel like it. Be attentive to the Spirit, asking Him to speak, and having eyes to look beyond ourselves to see others in the room. Father, would you take your word? It's powerful and active. God, it has the ability far beyond all of my limitations and distractions this morning of what I brought to it. God, would you speak to your people? God, will you unite our hearts around this great grace that you've given to us? God, we need one another. We need constant reminders of what is ultimately true. We need constant reminders of your resurrection hope. And each week, at the start of the week, because we serve and follow a resurrected King, we as a resurrected people, we get to come together and be reminded of that and rehearse that and be commissioned throughout our weeks in light of that. May it be so. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. We'd love to connect with you. So we invite you to reach out to us at summitupstate.org.